This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Listen, part of being a professional athlete is being a little delusional. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You've got to believe, Pearl, that you're always one step away, one move away from a championship, that, you know, everyone's got a clean slate. This is part of the athlete experience. If you don't believe, why are any of your teammates going to believe, right?
Yes, but there's got to be at least a realistic chance. You know, if you're on a team that is at the bottom of the standings, you can't say I'm on the brink of a title.
Well, that's not true if you're Dak Prescott. Yeah. You can say whatever you want. So here is the Dallas Cowboys quarterback who, you know, good for him, was at a charity event last night, you know, doing his work in the community. He says the Cowboys, he believes, are close to breaking through to win a title.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close.
Okay, more from Prescott. Says the Cowboys have shown they can beat up on the Eagles and the Commanders, so it's about to be their turn.
Especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC Championship, and those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time to see them. To see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
Okay, so it's not a stretch for Dak Prescott to say, look at the record. His record against Eagles is very good. He's 9-4. You always talk about how you're scared to death of Dak Prescott. He goes into the link. He's beaten the Eagles in the link. You know, if you say, listen, we play these teams tough, so why wouldn't we think we're kind of close? I get the logic. He just sounds so incredibly delusional because no one thinks that the Cowboys right now are on the upswing. But I can understand how he arrived at this to say, listen, we play the champs really tough. Why can't we get the better of them?
Well, right. But what I heard was a quarterback doing quarterback speak. And you can't take anything that Dak Prescott says seriously. He's a pitch man. I mean, he's the... there was a point where he had 7 national ad campaigns. He's like Tony Romo when he was Cowboys quarterback. What they say is not what they mean. And then it's funny because Tony Romo became a broadcaster and wouldn't stop being honest. Like, less honesty would be good from Tony Romo. But Dak is saying what he thinks he's supposed to say. I am not taking anything seriously. He's talking about Washington. Yeah, they beat up on the old Washington.
Yeah.
And they played well this year against him. But generally, you know, this Jaden Daniels Washington is a different thing. And also the Saquon Barkley Eagles is a different thing. They have not beaten up on the two teams as they exist now. So that's, to me, I was like, are we even taking this conversation seriously from the Cowboys? Do they really have a chance? I lean no. I mean, because of that Brian Schottenheimer hire and the fact that they won't play in free agency, like they're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything this year either, are they? They're not going to get a second wide receiver. They have a brittle quarterback. It just doesn't feel any optimism there.
No, and I've got to agree with you. I mean, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs this year. I think they ended up almost wasting a year, maybe by not getting rid of Mike McCarthy after that Packers loss that was so devastating. Feels like it really was a shadow over the offseason and then even into the season, because how do you actually believe when you just got destroyed like that at home in the playoffs? I think just the stink of that, Mike McCarthy, I don't think could really ever live down. And so what do they do now? They basically got McCarthy light. I mean, you kept his guy. You kept his offensive coordinator, totally flat-footed, the Cowboys. At least it seemed like it by how they conducted their coaching search. You interviewed four people.
Yeah.
Two satisfied the Rooney rule, and the other two were your current and former offensive coordinator. By the way, they may have gotten the wrong guy because Kellen Moore dialed up a nice little Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, and now he's going to be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. None of us do. But they didn't even hold out for the guy who may have been the better hire here.
Right, but the Cowboys' calculus in hiring coach is not who's the best coach. It's who's Jerry most comfortable with. That's why they hired Chan Gailey. That's why they hired Dave Campo, Wade Phillips. They are not, they didn't even think about Ben Johnson, the Lions coordinator, who's now the Bears coach. Like, that is not, they just want somebody who Jerry likes.
Yeah, there's like one, the only way I can see that the Dallas Cowboys have a really good season this year is that this tends to happen sometimes. When everyone kind of snows a team, sometimes they find something, and where everyone sort of zigs, they zag. Everyone is so incredibly down on the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if maybe there's just a, maybe all of us are just wrong.
Well, it's interesting.
That's all I got for you.
They have a gaudy pick, and they have a chance to get a wide receiver or running back in the draft. So, say you added Ashton Jeanty, which a lot of people obviously have speculated for a while, then maybe they do Ezekiel Elliott rookie year where he runs for 1,700 yards and that all those picks on the O-line start to pay off. That could happen, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, Emmett Smith joined us on Super Bowl Radio Row, and we always appreciate Emmett coming on the show because we have great conversations with him, and he gets so candidly honest with us about the Cowboys. And he told us straight up, they should not take Ashton Jeanty because they cannot protect him. It doesn't look like Emmett Smith, who knows more football than we'll ever know. He doesn't look like the offense. It doesn't appear to him that the offensive line is going to be gelling so quickly because he said, don't take Ashton Jeanty. And I think that the Eagles, this is such a copycat league. Haven't the Eagles shown you where you need to make the investment? Offensive, defensive line, and keep doing it and keep doing it.
Wow, the Cowboys are
great at that usually.
Yeah, they're all over the O-line. The Cowboys' schedule's brutal next year.
I saw
it. The entire NFC East is just brutal. So it's going to be really hard. You know why I'm a schedule guy. The NFC North, you know why they were so dominant this year? Because they played the AFC South. And you know why I know that? Because 2 years ago, the Eagles had the same thing.
Yep.
And the entire NFC East was like 14-1 against AFC South. It's an utter joke. That whole division, the ownership groups there should be embarrassed. But this year they get the AFC West, which is going to be crazy good next year because of Harbaugh and Peyton.
I know. So home games for the Lions next year, Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chargers, Minnesota, Arizona, along with obviously the NFC East teams. On the road, they go to Detroit and to Denver. Those are two very tough places to play. They have to play the Bears in Chicago, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Raiders.
Jets, Panthers, Raiders. I like the sound of that.
How do they keep getting to go to Carolina and play the Panthers in Carolina every year? I think it's 3 years in a row.
It's bizarre.
It's nuts. Let's go to Mike, who's in Ohio, wants to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We're great.
A couple comments about either team making it to the Super Bowl again next year. As the aforementioned Perloff just mentioned scheduling, I know Philadelphia does have the AFC West next year, which obviously they did really well. The Rams and Niners may have an easier ticket because they play the AFC South and the NFC South. And the other thing, too, is Saquon Barkley's remarkable year hardly ever is close to being repeated by running backs the following year. And the last point was, I agree with you, Maggie, about teams having a little bit of luck to get to the Super Bowl, because if you look at the defense of Philadelphia played this year, the Rams and the Packers were the two youngest defenses in this league, and Washington, I believe, was number 21 by the end of the season. Mm. So, the path to the Super Bowl is definitely, paved with good intentions and a lot of luck, and then repeating is going to be really tough, I think, for either one of those teams next year.
Mike, you bring up great points, and that's why I think we have to block you from the show forever, because you're right. The Rams and the Niners are totally a danger to the Eagles. The Rams terrify me because they didn't lose their defensive coordinator, who looks like a stud, and they have all these young guys. Like, they will lose Cooper Kupp, but he brings up good points. After a Super Bowl win, you tend to think, oh, it'll be the same two teams, and it usually is not.
And just think if Aaron Donald played this past year with that defense.
I mean, listen, Verse and Fisk were both up for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Verse is the one who won it. And you're right. Who is it? Mike Shula? Who's there? No.
Chris Shula.
Chris Shula. Excuse me. Mike Shula, we know. Chris Shula is their defensive coordinator, who did a great job. Mike, good points all around. Thanks for making them, and thanks for checking in.
You know who we fell in love with at the Super Bowl was Kyron Williams, the running back. And he's fantastic. The thing about the Rams, and this is quoting my friend Mike Lombardi, they're one of those teams who can get 3 yards on every run on first down, and that makes their whole offense dangerous. They're really going to be good next year.
You know, the question about the Rams, we touched on this yesterday about Matthew Stafford. I was reading a little bit more from Albert Breer in Sports Illustrated. So, yeah, we're going to have to really watch closely how these contract negotiations go with Matthew Stafford. I wasn't ready to connect the dots that the New York Giants hired his brother-in-law, and that means somehow Stafford is going to be on the next JetBlue flight to New York. But there's a couple things here. Stafford has no more guaranteed money after this year, right? So really, this is kind of like a whole clean slate. And the Rams, I guess, according to Breer Pearl, they're going to want him to sign up for 2 more years. They want guaranteed that he's going to be their quarterback for 2 more years. Can Stafford say unequivocally, I want to play for 2 more years? So
I don't see why not. Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Looked pretty darn good at the end of last year.
And how much money is he going to be asking for? Now, I think the Rams would be silly to get rid of him, because who's going to play quarterback for you?
Yeah, I mean, last year.
Stetson Bennett? Like, that's not, you're too close for that.
We did this dance last year, right? And he renegotiated the last, August, I believe. I don't know. I feel like you're competitive. He's 37. Like, does he look any different than when he was 26? He was never a mobile quarterback. That's why I think.
No, but he like plays hurt.
He feels like a late career Brady, where his brain is his biggest weapon. I think he's fine. You're right. The Rams would be nuts to move on.
He got hit in that Eagles game, and he looked like he wanted to just fall over. I mean, he's taken a lot of punishment over the years.
Oh, yeah.
But
he
to be fair, then he put together
that.
An incredible drive. No. I mean, we love Kyron Williams. He came on the show. That fumble was one of the major turning points, and basically kind of, I don't say it didn't hand the game to the Eagles, because you still had to go out and play defense, but that was a big mistake.
But the Eagles, as you saw in the Super Bowl, when they go into prevent, they just get ripped apart. That's kind of what, and they were in deep prevent in that Rams drive. I don't know how guys were getting behind him. Stafford's always taken massive concussions and got hit, and he always gets back up.
You're right, and he's one of the toughest guys in the NFL, and since joining the show, I feel like I have a much bigger respect for him, because Perloff loves him so much, and he's great. I just wonder, though. Like, I mean, he is a guy, Detroit, that takes a lot of years off your career just playing there for all those years. And then he's gone to L.A., and they won a Super Bowl, but in recent years, I feel like he has taken some bumps and bruises. And then another thing with him, too, is it feels like his wife kind of has a budding media career. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't look at her as like someone who's just, is she happy just being a mom, stay at home mom? Like, I think she might actually want to do bigger things.
Well,
like,
she can do it in LA, though.
Well, yeah, no, my thing is, can she do that while Stafford's still a full time NFL player, is what I'm saying. Similar to what we had to do Giselle and Brady. They have the same thing.
No, I hear what you're saying, but don't they have a million nannies?
I mean, a million nannies.
Maybe not everybody wants to just give everything off to the nanny. I'm just saying, I think to someone who maybe have big aspirations, maybe there is a time where Stafford has to step aside because of
Kelly's career.
Well, if he's
not
out
like
playing,
Kelly's trying to become a big media star, that seems obvious to me.
No, I get it, but I feel like Kelly and Giselle really had her own thing going long before she met Tom Brady.
Right, she put a lot on pause because of Tom Brady.
I think so, but Kelly, the only reason for now that we actually care really about Kelly is when she's telling stories about Stafford. Right? She's talking about dating the backup quarterback to make him jealous at Georgia. She's talking about their life together.
Maybe this is anecdotally, but I only got introduced to how, I guess, more well-known she's becoming, because I had one of my fiance's friends was talking about how, oh, yeah, there's this woman who's teaching other women about, like, how to explain football, like, to your friends if you don't know anything about football. And I didn't realize this was Kelly Stafford doing this. Like, her podcast and her, like, again, whatever she's got going on, is cutting through beyond just Matt Stafford connections. It's not my lane. I'm not saying something, but I'm just saying, like, I think it is, like, something on the table, maybe.
By the way, way to fall in for that Giselle narrative. Give me a break. What are you, her divorce lawyer?
What do you mean? They were saying
she was printing $1 billion a year on some cosmetic. Like, she didn't take any breaks. She was being a mom and printing money with all her other product lines.
By the way, she's got a baby now with the jujitsu instructor.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever she says sounds like a lie to me. I am not
her
a Giselle fan.
So anti-Giselle.
I hate Giselle.
I mean, she cheated on Tom Brady. Yes. A German supermodel? Like, okay, whatever.
Are you sure he never cheated on her?
I'm sure he did, but still, like, at least he didn't pretend.
You really don't think that Tom Brady's career, like, Giselle was, a supermodel who walked runways, who traveled around the world. You really think that she was as active as she was before Tom Brady? Like, I don't think. She definitely
had kids.
That's my point. Is that I'm saying that she said that she had to take care of the kids, and therefore she couldn't do other things.
I mean, she would have been doing even if Tom Brady was home, she would have been with the kids. I think that's what kind of sidetracked her. Like you're saying, because Tom didn't do his side of the billionaires. Like, I just think, like, she could have pursued her career, but I think she wanted to be with her kids.
I think her side has been that she had really no choice because Tom was so committed to football.
Yeah, I mean, and Tom says that. He's like, I was being selfish, committed to football. He said that, Pearl.
Whatever. Give me a break.
You just have this thing against Giselle, which is just hilarious. I get it. Maybe she's a little much with the... But is he. And by the way, can we just talk about, you know, cheating and all that stuff? Think about how they got together.
Yeah, she cheated. Yeah, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Well, but, I'm just saying, Bridget Moynihan is pregnant, and Brady leaves her for Giselle. Like, your relationship starts like that. I don't think that either side can be like, huh, never saw it coming.
They always say, you lose them, how you get them.
But let me ask you this question. Do you think that Giselle needed to step back from her career to support Tom's football career?
She says that she did.
Yeah.
No, I know she said. She says a lot of things.
I have no idea.
Like, why? Because
I think so. If you're actually asking me, I say yes.
I don't know. I think it's hard to have three kids and be a traveling supermodel.
I think in this generation where being visible is super important, I think being less visible is losing money, 100%.
Well, there's another part of it, too. I think she wanted to transition away from being a supermodel, and that means you have to, like, build businesses, right?
Yeah,
if you
want
to do
did.
Skincare lines and whatever, I don't know.
And she made so much money, she probably doesn't even know what to do with it.
Probably not. But meanwhile, new kid now.
I think being a mom, being a parent, and being a supermodel is probably really hard because models travel so crazy. And regardless of what your husband does, listen, I don't know much about that world.
I was going to say, Pearl, enlighten us.
But I mean, I just try to think. I think of who's out there on the catwalk. There's not a lot of mothers of three kids.
Yeah, listen, this is the working moms, man. Nothing like us. Yes. Please enlighten me more about being a working mom, Pearl. You know, your wife goes through it. She's a working mom. She's not traveling as much as Giselle.
Yeah. And she, you know, we don't have anywhere near the resources. And she puts in a ton of effort in her career and never makes any excuses about what I'm doing. Like, it wouldn't even dawn on her.
855-212-4227. This actually started as a conversation about Dak Prescott. For him to point out that the Cowboys play the Eagles tough, does that mean they're actually a little closer to being a contender than maybe we are, giving them credit?
Did the Eagles kill the Cowboys this year?
Well, I mean, Prescott was hurt. At first, the defense was all hurt, then Prescott was hurt at the end of the year. 855-212-4227. I'm waging a personal battle in my home. I can tell you guys about that next. I'm losing this battle, by the way. Like, a lot. And secondly, some weird video came across from Bourbon Street, from the French Quarter, between two famous athletes. And we can't tell if this is real or if it's a work. We'll dive into that very important Wednesday show, Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Wide-ranging conversation in the last segment. Will Matt Stafford retire to support his wife's media career?
Wait, I think I want to do a top five people Perloff dislikes the most.
Oh, I don't actually dislike Giselle that much, but this idea that Giselle has 1% even of a victim in her is insane. Like, there's nothing.
I get started on my top five.
Wait, what? I don't dislike
Ben Simmons, number one.
I was going to say, where does Ben Simmons fall on the list? I think Ben Simmons, I think Joel Embiid is actually a little higher. Top five people, Perloff dislikes.
It's like a power ranking. You got to do currently. But so you guys currently are, maybe Joel.
To say I feel bad for Gisele Bündchen about anything is bananas to me. She's a billionaire.
We know. We're picking that up.
But how do you guys honestly believe that? Like, oh my God, poor Gisele. Tom didn't help due to the dishes. What are we talking about here?
I'm still relatively new to the show. Keep going.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's.
By the way, why is it always 3-on-1 or 4-on-1? Have you guys
Manny's
ever wondered
on your
about
side?
Rarely. Because unless I'm talking about the Knicks.
Well, I mean, listen, you also take shots at them.
You are a Mr. Against the Grain, so there's that too.
Well, I mean, you're right, because we all have to rally to watch the next Kelly Stafford episode of How to Play Football.
Listen, I said I think that Kelly all her stuff only goes viral when she's talking about Matt. Gisele at least had her own thing going on, you know?
She still does. She's printing money right now. There's no reason to feel bad for Gisele. She'll be fine. Anyway, and by the way, I've actually seen Gisele in the Village many times when I was living in New York.
Whoa.
I'm like kind of closer to Gisele than you guys are.
Yes. And by that, you mean what? 200 feet? 300 feet?
Well, there'll be a restraining order after the show.
Yeah,
so don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I saw a Money Team SUV a couple of weeks ago outside of a hotel. I'm very close with Floyd Mayweather.
But yeah. It was hard because Gisele had three kids. She had five grocery bags, and it was tough to be Gisele.
Poor Gisele.
In the city when I saw her at the grocery.
Yeah, poor Gisele. I agree, Pearl.
On the top five list of people Perloff despises.
I'm number eight.
Bogish might be on there.
I'm not in the top five yet. Top 10, yes.
You're outside looking in.
Yeah. Honestly, I definitely do not despise. I despise Ben Simmons. I do not despise Gisele Bündchen. But
number four on that list, Manny and EJ after a Knicks win.
Yeah, we move up and down depending on whether the Knicks win or lose.
Now, I got to really think about this. People Perloff despises. It's not that many. It might be hard to get a full five. I might have to put Gisele on twice.
I mean, Bryce Young's definitely on that list.
I don't like him.
I personally like Bryce Young. He's super cool.
Do not like him as a football player.
Yeah, but do you, I mean, he hasn't had a great career.
Okay.
I think that's a super hot take.
I mean,
EJ, he's not remembering the battle we had over Bryce Young. This is the problem.
No, here. I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I mentioned Bryce Young's name. It was just like, he's terrible.
Almost beat the Eagles this year. Let's go to JT, who's in Atlanta, but didn't. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I really appreciate you taking my call. First off, I just want to say that I think it was Manny. I don't remember. But he's talking about Stafford retiring. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. If he retires, he's going to leave him, right? Isn't that how it works? So he can't retire.
Okay,
right?
Like, Kelly would leave Stafford? Oh, no, we were talking about would Taylor Swift, you know.
Oh,
if Kelsey,
it's only with Taylor.
Playing, does this kind of, you know, she sort of signed up for football player, not movie star.
No, you guys said that people tend to leave after the player retires.
EJ said
60-80% of athletes get divorced the second they retire.
This is how a lot of athletes go broke. Part of the reason is because they get divorced right after they get right after they retire, so the money's not coming in anymore, and then she takes half. This is not that's not obviously the Kelsey Taylor situation, but that does happen a lot.
But I wanted to talk about Dak Prescott real quick, though, because I read that article. I haven't actually heard him say it, but it's ridiculous because what I feel like is happening now is, like, we've always thought about the worst fans in the NFL. One of them had to be the Cowboy fans because of their delusional behavior, right? Since the 90s, they've sworn that they're still that same team and that they're still awesome, even though they haven't won anything and been anywhere. And now that's permeating the actual organization. I mean, because I can't believe that he said the things that he said with the results that have been evident throughout his entire career and prior to him even getting there. I guess he has to be confident, but you can be quietly confident, not in overtly insane sounding confident. Because again, at this point, nobody believes you. But I don't think half of the team is looking at him. Like, what's he talking about? Like, he said it himself on the sideline last year. We suck. And all of a sudden, we're not far away. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. And the fact that this it's just the most Cowboyish thing I've seen in a long time is all I say.
JT, solid call. So if you missed us last segment, what Dak Prescott said at a charity event yesterday is that because they've played the Eagles tough over the last couple years and he has a 9-4 record against Philadelphia, well, if we play them tough, then maybe, and then that means we're not that far away. He also said, you know, they play the Commanders tough, so it's our turn now in the NFC, and he was trying to be positive about the whole thing. You know, he sounds crazy.
I don't know. I think Dak is kind of saying the right thing. I slightly disagree. Like, what's he supposed to say? Isn't that what he is supposed to say as a leader of the team?
I think there is a different way to do it. As JT said, you can have a quiet confidence. Say, listen, you know, congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles, and we've got a lot of work to do. You know, you're coming off a season in which you came in second to last place in the division. It's really not a time to be talking about how close you are when you didn't even make the playoffs last year. And to be honest, even if Dak didn't get hurt, I don't think they were making the playoffs. So it does sound a little silly. Now, the one thing about Cowboy fans, Pearl, I don't think you're going to find a lot of them beating their chest lately. I think they're pretty beaten down. This Brian Schottenheimer thing really seemed to take a lot of the wind out of their sails. And, you know, Jerry's older. He's talking nonsense. I don't think the Cowboy fan base is feeling too high on themselves.
I would even take it a step further. I don't even think they're going to start not showing up. And they already did last year, right? Yeah, this is going to be... Remember Jerry was complaining it was empty in Oxnard, California, where they do training camp? I think it's going to get worse and worse. And there are going to be a lot of opposing fans in the Cowboy Stadium.
Do you think they take their fan base for granted? Because they have such a gigantic coast-to-coast.
Oh, yeah, they still be making money. But, you know, at a certain point, Jerry's, what, 82? So there will be a transition, but definitely, like, yeah, this is not a good time to be a Cowboys fan. I ran into RJ Ochoa from SB Nation on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, this is going bad.
Yeah, I don't think the Brian Schottenheimer thing went over well.
No.
And that's just the latest.
Well, all in last year was the big disaster. That's when it all started going sideways. When we said we're going to be all in and they signed Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
All in.
Really fit the definition.
Yeah, so I think.
But they did re-sign Lamb and they re-signed Dak.
I feel like they are off track. They're just careening down the road toward mediocrity, which they did there. Remember after Parcells, they were mediocre for a long time. They're facing that again, I'd imagine.
Question, how high up does James Harden get on the list of the top five people Perloff despises? Harden's pretty high.
Are we talking sports despise or like personally despise?
I think it's a little mix of both.
I don't hate James Harden as a person. He seems super fun.
Yeah. When you're at the strip club with him, it's a great time.
I'd rather go out with him than anyone here.
Good night in Atlanta with James Harden. Legendary.
I'm going to be honest. I'd rather go out with James Harden than anyone here.
Any of us would.
And I'm not really trying to frequent those kind of establishments. Bogish is here with headlines for us. What's up?
Guys, LeBron, Kareem, Karl Malone, Kobe, MJ, Dirk, Wilt, and now Kevin Durant. That is the 30,000-point club in NBA history. KD joining the other seven with free throws in the third quarter of last night's 119-112 loss to the Grizzlies.
True honor to be in the same category as players who've helped shape the game and push the game forward. And that's always been my goal, is to get the most out of myself every day and the most out of my career.
As for the game, Durant and the Suns have now lost five of their last six.
I had a thought about this. I'm sorry about Durant. Like, he's an all-time great player, and I feel like that kind of gets lost a little bit because of everything else with Durant. You know, leaving OKC, going to Golden State, the social media stuff, the Charles Barkley feud.
He's an idiot.
Totally.
Forcing his way out of Brooklyn, although who could blame him?
Yeah, his legacy is tarnished by all that side stuff,
Which is crazy because there's actual guys who, like, commit crimes and do terrible things. Like, all of his crimes, air quotes, are just sports. I mean, he's never done anything, at least that I can remember, where you're like, man, that's just a bad guy. Like, steer clear of that dude. It's all... You know, none of it is so super serious.
Well, I think it's because we judge him on the highest pedestal, right? Like, we consider him one of the more talented players ever play. So when you think about the Mikes, the LeBrons, the Magics, the Larry Birds, like, he's, in terms of talent, he's in that category. So when we talk about why he isn't there, we don't point to anything negative off the court or anything. He's never done anything wrong like that. But it's more of this other stuff that doesn't allow him, I think, to really be considered that great.
Right.
I think maybe he lacks some of the killer instinct that those guys had. I think that's the perception out there. The bus driver.
For sure. You're exactly right. That he should not be a bus rider. He should be a bus driver.
Whatever your name is.
Barry, did you guys see all the rumors that the T-Wolves were trying to figure out a way to get Durant there right now at the trade deadline, and it fell apart because they could get the money right? Mm. That would have been super cool.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards, that's his favorite player. That's his idol.
And they're going to, I just looked at the story, they're going to try and do it this summer again, get Anthony Edwards and KD together again. But he's getting old. Like, can he do this still?
I don't know. Back to you, Bose.
Yeah.
The Knicks, yay. We're 128-115 winners in Indiana. The Pistons hammered the Bulls in Chicago, 132-92. And the Raptors won in Philly, 106-103, dropping the Sixers to a season-worst 13 games under 500.
Damn.
Tyrese Maxey just 5 points, 1 of 9 shooting, which had head coach Nick Nurse worried post-game.
I don't really want to speculate, you know, too much before I talk to him, right? I have a feeling there's, you know, something, you know, I hope not, but I think there might be something physically bothering him. So I just want to check with that, yeah.
That would be rare injury issues for the Sixers, so fingers crossed for Maxey. The Lakers are signing free agent 7-footer Alex Len in the wake of canceling their trade for Hornets center Mark Williams. Len averaged a robust 1.4 points and 1.8 rebounds for the Kings this season before being traded to Washington and then getting waived.
Oh, by the way, yesterday I had a line that I regretted. You said, will J.J. Redick be the next Nick Sirianni? And I said Manny was more likely to date Taylor Swift than J.J. Redick winning the title. Then I watched NBA on ESPN all day yesterday, and everyone's like, the Lakers have a great path to the finals. I could end up eating that. Like, and this guy, now that they got a setter, am I going to regret that take more than anything?
I hope not. I don't want the Lakers to win, but... I was trying. Yeah, this is what we were trying to tell you.
Yeah, we're all going to owe J.J. Redick a big apology if they even get to the Western Conference Finals.
But I don't understand. Nobody's going to play defense on that team. Like, LeBron's not going to have the energy. He's old like me. And then
don't worry, they've got 7-footer Alex Len.
How is this team a title contender now? And now they have Alex Len. Is he that good on defense? I thought he was a kind of a bust.
Definitely a bust. Not even kind of a bust.
Yeah,
but he's a big body. They just need a big body.
Is this enough?
I got Jackson Hayes.
Should I be terrified that I was going to look really bad and Manny's going to pull back that soundbite all the time?
Just like Wembanyama?
Yes. Is that my new Wembanyama? The Lakers. Now I'm terrified of the Lakers. I'm going to root against the Lakers.
Nothing will be as bad as Wembanyama.
Well, that was the opposite of true. I feel a little safer, but if I could be that wrong about Wembanyama, maybe I'm wrong about the Lakers. Wembanyama? By the way, and also... The guy does hang around the perimeter a lot. That's all I'm saying.
It was the game of the night in Omaha. Number 24, Creighton falling at home to UConn, 70-66, ending their 9-game winning streak. UConn freshman Liam McNeely did score a career-high 38, and his head coach, Dan Hurley, traded trash talk with Creighton fans as he left the floor after the game, at one point reminding them that he has 2 national title rings.
Of course he did.
Second-ranked Alabama, another high-scoring effort.
Sherrell with it, giving it out. Stevenson, another three, another make. And Jared knocks it down. Wow, what a ball game he has had.
That's from Learfield. It's on a 103-80 win at Texas. 17th time this season they've hit the century mark. Jaren Stevenson scoring 22, including 4 of their 17 threes. Number 1 Auburn handled Vandy, 80-68. Third-ranked Florida, an 81-68 win at number 22 Mississippi State. And Shedeur Sanders says he already has pre-draft visits scheduled with the Browns and Giants. Guys, back to you.
Whoa. That's spicy.
Sorry, I was filling out Perloff's top 5 people he hates the most. What was that last part?
Shedeur is going to meet with the Browns and Giants to start whenever pre-draft things can begin.
Oh, love it. All right, yeah, let's talk about that.
Go ahead, man.
I think I have got the top 5 people that Perloff despises the most. Yes, EJ.
Did you see the other spicy rumor about Shedeur?
Mm.
Jets may be interested in moving up.
Ooh.
I'd say that too if I were them.
You know what? I was thinking about it. The Jets are 7, right, EJ?
Right.
And there's a lot. I'm reading a lot of mock drafts from really smart people who have the Titans just not doing quarterback at all. So maybe they fall.
The thought is you have either Garrett Wilson or Quinnen Williams or Sauce Gardner. Do you pair those guys with one of those picks to get up to whatever the number it is you need to get to Shador? It might not even be one. Maybe it's two or three or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, or the Shador could fall to the Raiders. They would not pass on him, so that's a problem.
You got to get ahead of the Raiders in any scenario.
I'm sorry, I'm blanking on something. Who did the Jets hire as their offensive coordinator?
That's the guy who's a passing coordinator for
the Lions.
Lions
guy.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Okay,
but, yeah.
Aaron Glenn brought someone with him.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, listen, you're going to have Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Darnold possibly, maybe Stafford.
Don't forget Daniel Jones.
I'm going to forget you said that. You're going to have some of these other veteran quarterbacks out there who maybe the Titans, listen, the Titans can't go in with Will Levis.
You're giving
the middle finger to your fan base if you do that, but maybe one of the older guys is a bridge or a gap or whatever. Maybe they don't go quarterback number one.
I saw a Titans reporter said the Titans don't want Rodgers because that's the team that everyone... So I think it's all smoke. They take Cam Ward, right? Like, how are they not going to take Cam Ward?
I would, too. But then maybe the Browns are open for business. Oh, I forgot Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Like, these guys could be all available.
I would say it's very safe bet that Ward and Shador are gone by three.
I don't think Deion's going to let Shador go to Cleveland. And I don't blame him. And if I had that kind of power as a parent, I'd even steer him to the Giants, for goodness sakes. I would not want him going to Cleveland.
But you don't think Kevin Stefanski is a veteran offensive coach? I'm just going to play maybe a little devil's advocate, but he's a veteran offensive coach. He's been coached a year. He got saddled with Deshaun Watson, who clearly stinks. Like, that's not his fault. Like, why can't Stefanski, who did stuff with Joe Flacco, do stuff with Shador?
It's just a bad organization. It's where quarterbacks go to die. Yeah. That's why Myles Garrett wants out. Something is real stinky over there, and we've known that.
I think Deion would like some of the people there. I mean, remember?
How long are they going to be there? You don't trust their owner.
They've been there a long time now. But remember, they were such a big buzz team when Odell and Mayfield were there. I don't know. I feel like Cleveland. I'm not sure it's that simple because, like, look at it. Is it what the Giants is like some great shakes?
No, the Giants are not great shakes. But I'm not saying it would even be the Giants. I'm just saying not the Browns. And the other part is that Baker Mayfield Odell thing. There was a lot of buzz and a lot of intrigue, but I also think those were two big personalities that people are interested in. And two, there was a train wreck factor. When does the car crash happen? And when does something, you know, when does this blow up, I think, is why a lot of people were paying attention to that Cleveland situation.
Mm.
And it did blow up. And Odell Beckham's dad had to put out a video on social media of all the throws that Baker was missing. And he eventually got his wish and got released. It's always something with the Browns. I wouldn't do that.
The only thing with Deion, though, that I keep holding on to, I know he said literally that this is going to be an Eli, but he did bring his kid to Colorado. I mean, Colorado was a one-win team.
He was coaching, though. He had control.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were an organization in a school that had basically zero infrastructure. Like, I'm wondering if they are as scared of a challenge as we think they are.
Yeah, but Deion, I think he could at least control things. Like, you're going to control who? The Haslam family? Like, no way.
Yeah, what's better, the Tennessee situation, the Giants situation, or the Cleveland situation? All of them. Anybody. The Raiders. All these situations are bad. All these ownership groups. That's why they're at the top of the draft.
Thank you, John Mara.
I mean, the Jets?
I mean, the Jets, another place where quarterbacks go to die.
I'm not sure. I guess the Giants, because of Eli, that's the one that... But then again, that ownership group has gotten old. I have no idea. I kind of agree with EJ was going. There's something about Cleveland that is not that awful. That front office has been there a long time now. All these guys, Paul Dio Podesta, remember the Jonah Hill character in Moneyball, is still there.
I mean, all the teams we just mentioned, those teams haven't sniffed the playoffs in recent memory. The Browns have. They've made the playoffs multiple times.
Titans are a tough spot right now.
Guys, their best player asked for a trade 4 days ago.
I know.
And you're like, everything's awesome in Cleveland. This is great.
Look, this is like, 3 a.m. at the bar, Maggie. Like, you're just trying to find something.
Place to sleep?
Yeah.
Any port in the storm? Yeah. Awesome.
The Browns are loaded, though. Like, they have crazy investment in their O-line. They have receivers. Like, look at their O-line. You'll be like, oh, my God. Like,
they won three games this year.
You guys,
the season not happening?
They're all gone. They have, look at their O-line. Jedrick Wills, Joe Bitonio. I don't know if all these guys are back. Wyatt Teller, Jack Conklin. That's like
they all get hurt.
They were all hurt last year. Like, their whole
O-line. They've been hurt. But I don't know. You guys are like, wow, look at the prom queen over here of the
Titans.
Cleveland Browns. Like,
check out the Titans. Do a deep dive into the Tennessee Titans, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, I mean, at least you can fail in obscurity there. 855-212-4227. Okay, I got my top five list of people Perloff despises. And coming up, we will talk about some of these veteran quarterbacks and where they could land. It's Maggie.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Now, I've had the pleasure of not only being friends with Andrew Perloff, for over almost 14 years now. I think we met in 2010 when I got hired at Sports Illustrated, and you were already there. And now for the last, we're in year four now of the Maggie and Perloff show, which is so awesome. And I've spent a lot of time with you.
Okay.
And I think I have the top five people you despise the most right now. It's a current power ranking of people. And now this is not necessarily personal or sports. It's kind of a mix of both.
Well, I definitely have my sports people. So I'd like to hear. And I know I can predict a couple. Wait, hold on. Before you do it, I'm going to write on a piece. Give me that pen. I'm writing who I know you're going to put on here.
Okay.
But, okay. Because I know.
Wait, you're going to do the top five people you despise the most. No, now, again, this is personal and sports.
You were going to put, having listened to me.
Okay.
I know three, and there are three basketball players.
There are two basketball players on this list.
Okay, then you're forgetting somebody. Okay, go ahead.
Hello. Top five people that Andrew Perloff despises the most. Number five would be New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
Oh, I hate Kathy Hochul.
I knew.
And by the way, she's ruined our entire office. It's not just me.
Perloff despises this woman. Never met her, obviously. Politicians, we're all on whatever.
And it's just because of congestion pricing. We have this new toll in New York City where you have to pay $9.
Oh, not just that. Well, that's a big part. You think all the tax dollars for New York City are going to pay for the Buffalo Bills stadium upstate that has no dome, and you despise New York Governor Kathy Hochul, fifth on the list, people Perloff despises.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little political. I don't love getting political on here, but yeah, she's the worst.
Two-issue voter, Andrew Perloff, right there.
Yeah, congestion pricing and a Bills stadium.
Oh, I don't care about the Bills stadium. I'm okay with.
You're not.
It's a congestion. I don't really care about that. It's a congestion pricing is very, very bad.
Yeah, because,
What are the odds that we're the only people in the world who actually get in at 5 a.m.? We're like right at the cusp.
Okay, number four on the list of people Andrew Perloff despises, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, I love Shai Gilgeous.
That's
You
don't
totally
like
wrong.
His mid-range game. You don't think
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
You will take every moment to tell us how much Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will not win in the NBA.
No, that's wrong, but go ahead.
Number three on the list of people Andrew Perloff despises, it's actually the reason why we came up with this list. Number three is Giselle. You don't like her.
Nah.
You think that you don't like her victimhood, the victim mentality.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. But also, too, I mean, I do like certain parts of Giselle. I think 45 she's
45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on.
She's quite attractive, I will give you that.
Still makes the list.
Okay.
Number three. Number two on the people, top five people Andrew Perloff despises, Joel Embiid. This is kind of like the GOAT pick, you know? You loathe Embiid. You always say he can never stay in shape. He doesn't take basketball seriously. He'll never be a winner. He's hurt all the time.
He's been good.
You're not an Embiid fan.
Everything you just said about it, I just view Joel Embiid the way everybody views Joel Embiid. You were saying, that's how, is it what you just said? Like, those are just facts about Joel Embiid, like the basic bio.
I'm an idiot.
And the number one person, but this is kind of like a bigger thing of people really that Perloff despises, anyone young and successful.
That's not true.
You hate young and successful people.
I do this joke when everyone's like, oh, I'm so happy for your success. I just think that the person who's saying that is usually a hypocrite. And just like when Pablo Torre was SI, I'm like, oh, everyone's like, isn't it exciting to have Pablo Torre? I'm like, no, I hate this kid. But I was kind of half joking.
There you go.
Here's the three lists.
Top five people Andrew Perloff despises. I'll put it out on social media.
It's definitely Russ, Harden, and Simmons. There's no doubt. Anyone who knows me knows about the rants on those three players.
Yeah. No, you hate those guys. I had to update it a little bit, though, with the Shai.
Well, Shea's from Canada, so I like all Canadian people, so there's just no way Shai Gilgeous is on that list. You ever hear me talking about Russell Westbrook? I can do a PowerPoint presentation on what's wrong with that guy's game.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
How do you guys think I did? You know Perloff really well now.
I like that you added Shai because I think he can say he doesn't hate him, but how many of these 5 minutes before the show come on, Perl comes in and is like, hey, You guys realize that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he took 31 shots last night? He doesn't pass. They're never going to win.
You don't like that. And I think the one I really nailed was New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
That was a great one.
We don't get political on the show, but you are not a fan of hers. And not many people are, quite frankly. She's not very popular.
No.
Nobody likes her. So you're in the majority there. You just say it.
I just don't like ball hogs in basketball. But Embiid, that was off. You kind of misread the room on that one. Like, do I hate Embiid?
You do.
No.
You're very mean to him.
I don't know. Does anyone view Embiid differently? Like, the thing about it, you have to name people that everyone likes, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But everybody views Embiid exactly as I do. Do you view him differently?
No, but I think you are particularly bothered by his inability to get in shape. Like, this is part of it that you is unforgivable.
Who is not bothered by that?
All of his talent in the world totally overlooked because he can't stop eating fast food.
Yeah, like the Knicks.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.